Okay, so for what I have today, I think if you've talked to me, you know, at some point, I've probably mentioned about the word resilience. I love the word because I think it's what I've used in my career, what I've used in my life. It's been one of those words that, or one of those qualities that if you have, in any situation that you're in, you will always be able to see, you know, the silver lining. You'll always be able to see that, you know, there is something good, you know, in every situation. It's a timeless truth, God, like I would put it. I'm going to title today's message, Resilience in the Face of Uncertainty. There's times in our lives where, you know, we are going to be uncertain about what is going to happen. Also, in a world, you know, that is filled with unpredictability and challenges, how do we stand firm, unwavering in our faith? How do we not forget that Jesus is our anchor, our hope, and our firm foundation? We believe that Jesus is our hope and firm foundation when things are going smoothly. It's very easy at those points. But when there are challenges, when there are uncertainties, when you are not sure of what to do next in your life, you know, what step to take, do we still believe that Jesus is our firm foundation? Or do we forget, you know, even for a second, and panic? Also, how do we maintain a posture of believing in the truth that God will never leave us? God will never let us down. So let us delve, you know, into the Word of God together and discover the keys to resilience that will sustain us through life's storm. So, what is resilience? I had to go to dig in the dictionary and also ask Google what it means. So I'm going to read to you what I found. You know, for psychology, it says that resilience is the mental ability to withstand or recover from difficulties, depression, illness, or misfortune. For physics, it says that it is the ability of a substance or object to spring back into shape or resume its shape after being stretched or deformed. You can also look at it in terms of the corporation that you work in terms of systems. Say that resilience is the positive capacity of an organizational system or company to adapt and return to equilibrium after a crisis, failure, or disruption. I can think of this in terms of, let's say, an IT system. Every company wants to test that their system is resilient. You know, that if it came under a cyber attack, that it can withstand it. There won't be any, you know, penetration that will bring down the company system. When I work on the ship, we used to do something called ship security assessment, and then we would create a ship security plan. And that plan was to make sure that if there was any, let's say, attack, terrorist attack, how would we respond? So we would have like a small piece of paper to show the step that we would take. If there was a hostage situation, how would you respond? Or if you heard that there was contraband or, you know, a suspicious package on board the ship, how would you respond? All of that ties into the resilience of your ship, how you prepare for different situations. I've also seen that, you know, resilience is a process, an outcome of successfully adapting to difficult or challenging life experience through mental, emotional, and behavioral flexibility and adjustment to external and internal demand. I'm reading all this meaning because it sort of explains in a bit more what resilience means, you know, in a typical world. But then we also have our resilience, what we have to maintain, you know, as Christians, as children of God. What is that? So, in the face of uncertainty and disruption, resilience means that we have to trust in God's faithfulness. That has to be our resilience. That has to be our defense. Trusting in God's faithfulness means, you know, that we believe, knowing that God will not leave us nor forsake us. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my workplace, where I am right now, the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency. We currently have an issue of shortage of car parking space. You would probably, I mean, already know where I'm going with this. If there is a shortage in a corporation that have a lot of people, what happens? Becomes a case that it's first come, first serve. You have to get in quickly, because if you're not early enough, you won't have where to park your car, and then you have to go find somewhere to pay extra. Why am I saying this? I think it's a way, in a way, I'm testifying that God's been faithful, even for, you might call it trivial stuff like me finding car parking. Because you know what? 90% of the time, I've been able to find parking. I'll just drive in there, and then there is a space for me. I've seen people drive out, and they will be like, Archie, where did you park your car today? I said, I parked in there. They said, what? Where do you always park? I said, I joke with them and say, look, I park on top of another person's car. And they're like, nah, that's not possible. But yeah, I joke with them. But yeah, that's my testimony. I trust in God's faithfulness to find me parking. Sometimes I tell my wife while we're driving him. He said, wow, it's so late, man. It's just 9 a.m. I don't think we're going to find parking. I always say that I walk by faith and not by sight. I don't care what it is parking, but I'm just going to go in there first. And most of the times, I find my parking. Trusting in God's faithfulness is fundamental to the Christian faith, serving as the bedrock of our relationship with Him. You know, as Christians, we believe that God is faithful and true to His promises, and we bring in His love and commitment to His people. And who are we? We are His people. We are His church. When we trust in God's faithfulness, we anchor our hope in His character and sovereignty, finding security and peace amid life's uncertainty. By entrusting our lives, you know, our plans and circumstances to God, we relinquish control. We surrender to His perfect will, confident that He is working all things together for our good. Because you know what? For some of the days when I don't seem to find parking, I just drive out from there smiling. I'm saying, maybe today is not my day. It's not my car that is going to be scratched today in here. I mean, something as silly as that. But yeah, that sort of gives me the, you know, the, makes me think, you know what, I have to find a silver lining in this situation. I'm not parking him here today, but maybe me not parking means I'm a good person. Someone else get to park their car. So when we face difficulties, when we face uncertain times, we can be rest assured that God is with us and guiding us through the storms of life. Because I think I'm probably going to be mentioning this car park situation today a lot of times. I always find parking on the street when I live. I don't have to drive all the way back home. I find parking somewhere else. Maybe not just in the car parking space that I thought I would be. You know, as we lean on His promises, as we cling on God's word, we find strength and courage to press onward, knowing that He is faithful to fulfill His purpose in our lives. In times of doubt, despair, the assurance of God's faithfulness serves as a beacon of light, illuminating the path before us and leading us to a place of rest. In the book of Joshua, chapter 6, verse 1, I think, down to 20 and even more, where he talks about the wall of Jericho and the obstacle that the children of Israel had in front of them. One says, you know, now the gate of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. Jump down to 20, verse 20, it says, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, the men gave a shout. The wall collapsed, so everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. We know what the story is like from verse 1. Children of Israel did not just have to, they did not jump straight from 1 to 20. They did a few things in between, which was every day they had to go and walk around the city once without saying a word, and then they went back to the tents. They did that for 6 days. And on the seventh day, the wall of Jericho came down. But that would not have happened if they did not trust in God's word. God had given them the word. God had said, do this for 7 days, do this for 6 days, and then on the seventh day I'm going to do something. And then it did come to pass. Trusting in God is key. Obeying God's instruction is what made the wall of Jericho to come down at the appointed time. Also, if you look at the story of David facing Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David's trust in God's strength and deliverance empowered him to face the giant with courage. David knew who he was facing. David knew what the stakes were in that particular battle, but David trusted in God. And we all know how the story ended. David defeated Goliath, and the children of Israel were victorious in that battle. There are numerous stories of God's provision, even in our time, even in our personal situation. I'm sure we all have our own situation. We all have things that we are worried about. Or we've actually seen God come through for us in ways that we've never, you know, imagined. That is because we trusted in God. And you know what? As you do this, you build resilience. That is what resilience in the face of uncertainty means. 2, we can also learn to embrace trial with joy. We can learn to embrace trials with joy. In James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be matured and complete, not lacking anything. Embracing trial with joy. I've always shared a personal story, you know, remembering when I was preparing for my chief med's license. You know, in my line of work, we had to go from an OOW license to become an officer on the ship. And then you had to move ahead, you needed a chief med's license. And then you need a master, which is the highest. So when I applied for a visa, you know, I thought everything was right, you know. I got everything ready, put in the visa application, made plans to travel so that I can come and, you know, do my oral examination and go back as a qualified chief med. But you know that my visa wasn't granted. And I was a bit shocked because I was like, look, you guys should know me by now. I've been here for a few times, you know, I've applied for a few visas, you know everything about me, so why would you not grant my visa? I mean, it was disappointing. However, God had a better plan, you know, that was not clear to me at the time. That better plan was that, you know, later when I got the study visa at the end, it just took a few time, I had to go back to work, and then I was able to do that examination and also to be present for the birth of my daughter. If I had it before, it probably would have been a case that I would have had the license and I would have had to go back to sea, and then my daughter would have come while I was at sea. But because of the delay, it meant that, okay, I then got the visa later, came back, got my license, and also I was present, you know, to see the birth of my daughter. I believe that God lined that up to ensure that I was present for my wife and my family at that crucial time. I am somebody that typically believes that everything happens for a reason. And even though I was disappointed when the visa was denied, I counted it all joy, and God came through mightily at the end. So, we must seek God first during any kind of adversity, any kind of disruption, and find joy amidst the trials, knowing that God has already prevailed in all our circumstances. If you look at Joseph and his story in the Bible, Joseph was resilient, you know, in the face of his betrayal from his brother and imprisonment in Egypt, as we see in Genesis chapter 37 to 50. Despite the uncertainty, Joseph remained faithful, trusting in God's plan. And we all know that Joseph went on to succeed exceedingly in Egypt. Joseph even got a position similar to that of a prime minister. From the disappointment, from, you know, the pains that he had to go through, that was what God did for Joseph. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3 says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart." The word that I've picked up from there is perseverance. So, resilience in the face of uncertainty means that we have to cultivate perseverance. Perseverance is paramount as it strengthens our spiritual resolve and deepens our trust in God's faithfulness. When we persevere through trial and uncertainties, we develop resilience and character, shaping us into vessels of God's grace and love. Perseverance fosters spiritual maturity, allowing us to navigate life's uncertainties with unwavering faith and hope. In persevering as believers, we become living testimony of God's sustaining power and unfailing love. We are also able to inspire others to persevere in their own faith. We can speak to people, telling them our stories, telling them our situations, showing that, okay, we are not just saying this, but look, this is what happened when we persevered, and this is how God came through for us at the end of the day. Cultivating perseverance enables us to fulfill God's purpose and plans for our lives. By enduring trials with steadfastness and trust in God, we demonstrate our commitment to His will and His kingdom. Perseverance empowers us to overcome obstacles and opposition, pressing onwards towards the prize of our heavenly calling. Also, through perseverance, we align ourselves with God's timing. We align ourselves with God's timing and providence, allowing Him to walk in and through us for His glory. You see, in the end, the fruit of perseverance yields a harvest of spiritual growth, transformation, eternal reward, you know, as we run our race of faith with endurance, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the perfecter of our faith. If you look at the journey of the children of Israel through the wilderness, they had to persevere they had different challenges. They had different people, you know, come up, try to pick up, be a stumbling block, but they persevered. Apostle Paul as well also shows us, you know, that in his journey, he had to endure numerous trials and hardship in his ministry. We all know the story of Paul. He started as Saul, became Paul, and then started to preach. He was hunted, but that didn't stop him. You know, that didn't stop his ministry. The beating, the imprisonment, and the persecution did not stop him. He persevered. And he said in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Paul's unwavering commitment to his calling, despite adversity, serve as a great example of perseverance for all believers. It's one of the passages that I also point to, because no matter what happens, we can always hope and we can always know that it's not worth, or it's not as much, it cannot be measured in any way to the eternal weight of glory that we will receive if we persevere. Resilience in the face of change and uncertainty also means that we must find strength in our community. Finding strength in community is vital for Christians as we reflect the essence of the body of Christ. In our church community, we experience the love, support, and encouragement of fellow believers who work alongside us in our work of faith. When we come together as a community of believers, no matter what our personal struggles and internal battles may be, we are reminded that we are not alone, but are part of a larger family united in Christ. Through fellowship, we share in the highs, the lows, the sorrows, and the joys. We bear one another's burden, lifting each other up in prayer and encouragement. That is the essence of the community that we have. In times of weakness or doubt, the strength of our church family becomes a source of comfort and reassurance, reminding us of God's presence and faithfulness in our lives and in our church. Finding strength in community enables us to fulfill the commandment of love, or the commandment to love one another as Christ loved us. In the bond of Christian fellowship, we find accountability, guidance, spiritual growth as we sharpen one another's faith and character. When we do all of this together, we become powerful witnesses to the world of God's transformative love and grace, drawing others into the community of believers through our unity and mutual support. Sticking together, working together, praying for each other, encouraging each other, irrespective of what we go through personally or as a church, that is a way for us to build resilience. Additionally, final point, we must hold on to hope. We must hold on to hope, knowing that when God says yes, no man can say no. That's a very popular saying. When God says yes, no man can say no. No situation can say no. No denial can say no. You could be delayed, but it doesn't mean it's a no. If you hold on to the hope of God, or that God will come and reign supreme in your situation, that hope is the act of building resilience. Understanding that when God says yes and no man can say no is a revelation that must anchor our faith in God's sovereignty. This understanding empowers us to walk in confidence and boldness. I'm going to go back to my car parking situation. When I'm driving into that car park, not because I'm not afraid that, I may not find parking. I'm just driving in there because I know my Heavenly Father has probably created a space for me. I'm actually going to tell you, one of the days, I drove in there and people were driving out. And I'm wondering, it's over. There is no space. And I'm driving in and there is a space there. I'm wondering, what happened? It seems like God must have sent someone out. Because I saw three cars drove up. So man, it seems like two went in there. They didn't find parking, they drove out. And then somebody just pulled out for me. And I was like, wow, thank you. I drove in there and parked my car. But yeah, I held on to my hope. Held on to my hope that God is going to create a parking space for me. And it always happens. I'm telling you, it works all the time. So, as Christians, we believe in God's, you know, in the omnipotence and omniscience of God. Acknowledging that His will ultimately prevails in all circumstances. If you hold on to hope, that is what we believe. That is what will spur our confidence, and that is what will spur our boldness. Not because we feel, we know something that others don't know. It's just because we believe in God. So when they ask me, why are you always confident, or why do you always have the parking? I say, well, I know things, but that's not, I don't know anything. I just go there knowing that my God will create a way for me. When we align our desires and plans with God's purpose, we can trust that His affirmative answer is accompanied by His divine authority, overriding any human limitation or obstacles. I mean, there is no going through life without obstacles. There is no going through life without, you know, times where you're going to struggle, where you're going to think, okay, what am I going to do next? What is the next plan? That is sure. But you can be sure that you're going to prevail as well because you have God. Embracing this truth, holding on to hope, will bring about a deep sense of peace and assurance in our hearts. And that assurance is when things work and when things doesn't work as planned. It's not an assurance that is unwavering. It's not one that it only works in one situation. You walk into a situation and people think, why are you like this? I mean, everyone here is worried or crying, you're not worried. It's not that you're not worried. It's just that because you trust in God so much, you're holding on to hope that irrespective of what happened, God will see me through. That is the difference between us and people that have or that didn't have this kind of hope to hold on to. That is God for us, and that is what we get. In times of uncertainty or adversity, we can rest in the assurance that God's promises are unshakable and His faithfulness forever through. Knowing that Christ is our firm foundation. There's this song that we sing in church all the time. Christ is our firm foundation, the rock on which we stand. That is true. Because when we hold on to hope, we can know that Christ is our firm foundation and His yes transcends human limitation or circumstances. It is this understanding that enables us to surrender control and trust in God totally. Trust in His perfect timing and plan. Confident that His yes will lead us to what is best for our lives. God's yes will lead us to what is best for our life. You know, we may have what we think is our own best, but already we know that, you know, His thoughts for us are thoughts of good and not of evil, to lead us to a great and expected end. His expected end. We have what we believe is our expected end. Sometimes those may not really be what God, you know, has in store or the plan for us. God's plan for us is the best. And that's what we have to hold on to. As we abide in His will and seek His guidance, we can move forward with courage and perseverance, knowing that nothing, absolutely nothing, can thwart God's purpose for His church. Nothing can thwart God's purpose for those who place their trust in Him. You remember the story of Jacob and what Jacob had to go through. Lost everything, had everything, and then lost everything. Even had, I think it led to a point whereby Joseph was encouraged to curse God so that you can leave, so that you can get all your things back, so that you can get all your worldly riches back, all your, you know, houses, your farm, your animals. Joseph did none of that. Job did none of that. Job held on to hope and perseverance, and that did lead to restoration for him, full restoration, more than what he could ever think. And all of that was despite immense suffering and loss. But at the end of the day, Joseph witnessed God's faithfulness in the end. In conclusion, you know, as we journey through life's uncertainties, let us meet our trials with joy. Believe in God, for this produces perseverance, which will also lead to maturity and also lead to completeness in Christ. May we cultivate resilience, trusting in God's faithfulness, finding strength in our church, our community, and hold on to hope. And my prayer today is that God will help us, God will uphold us, because sometimes it's not necessarily easy to remember all of this. But I know that with God, nothing, you know, it's impossible. And God will give us the strength, God will uphold us, God will guide us, lead us to a place whereby we develop our resilience in every situation. May our lives shine as a beacon of resilience, inspiring others to stand firm in faith, even in the face of uncertainty. May the Lord bless His word for us. In Jesus' name, amen.